Well, what is going on, everybody? What is going on, Bills Mafia? Welcome. Welcome into Wake Up Wednesday and Overreaction Sports Network program. I'm the voice. I'm the host of this here wonderful program. I'm actually the host of all of the Overreaction Sports Network programs because there's only three of them, and all three of them are hosted by me. But it's so good to have you. My name is Joe Miller. You can find me on Twitter at Joe Miller Wired. I am the voice of this here show and the voice of a lot of other things, but it's so good to have you. Appreciate you joining me, being a part of this episode, a part of this these podcasts, these series of podcasts that I'm now doing. As I always like to say, you know, whether this podcast finds you around a cup of coffee at the gym with your AirPods in, or on your way to work right now, let me just say one more time, welcome. It's super good to have you. As I said, I do appreciate you joining me. This is a new podcast venture for me. I talked a little bit about it on Monday. I'm sure some of you caught that. Most of you know I'm on Buffalo Rumblings. I do three shows with them, the Overreaction Postgame Show, the Off Tackle with John Fina Show, and the Humpty Hotline with Jay Spence the King, one of my best friends in the whole world. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not leaving Buffalo Rumblings. This is just an opportunity for me to spread my wings a little bit, to extend my tent stakes, for lack of a better way of saying that. Just basically get some more content out there, scratch and itch, if you will, be a little more consistent with what I do. It also gives me the opportunity to venture into other things, NFL things wise or other sports things. It gives me the opportunity to have guests on, just because I'm kind of locked in, guardrailed, if you will, with the programs that I have currently. So, you know, I get often asked by other people and even content creators just about having guests on my show, and I'm going to get the opportunity to do that. So just super thankful. What you can expect are three individual shows from this platform. The first one being Mafia Monday, where I'm going to get into just how the Mafia is feeling post-game, post-weekend. Wake Up Wednesday is this show. This is going to be about just kind of the top news as it pertains to on Wednesday for the Buffalo Bills, some other things around the league. I want to talk a little bit about sports betting and just kind of picking games for the weekend coming up, and maybe a player parlay or two that I'm going to be looking at. And then Rapid Fire Friday is the last segment of the week, and Rapid Fire Friday is an opportunity for me to bring on a special guest, and I am going to rapid fire questions at them on a Friday that you are going to get the opportunity to sit back and kind of enjoy. Hoping to have a special guest for this Friday show. I don't have one lined up yet. I will keep you posted. I got to put some feelers out right after I'm done recording this, but so good to have just all of you joining me. Tell a friend, like, subscribe, whatever platform this is, a subscribable podcast that you can subscribe to, and you will only get my content. So please like, please subscribe, please leave if you want to leave a comment, or just any type of a review. That would be fantastic as well. Tell a friend, basically, is what it comes down to. But let's take a moment and let's talk about what everybody is talking about and every member of Bills Mafia around the world is pretty much worried about: injuries. Specifically, injuries or an injury to JA17 QB1 Joshua Patrick Allen. If you saw the game on Sunday, you saw that Josh, in the middle of a throw, had the ball strip sack taken right out of his hand and his arm bent back, and then obviously it whipped forward. And my guess is it probably wasn't the taking of the ball. It's coming forward. It's that funny motion where, you know, you're swinging something lighter than a bat, or you're swinging expecting to hit something and you don't hit it. And it's that awkward extension that your body isn't used to because it's prepared for a load, right? A load on the arm, or a load on your arms, or a load somewhere in your body. And when his arm came through, there was nothing there. Is probably more than likely what caused whatever damage is there. But, you know, it's currently being reported as a sprain to his elbow. And I believe it was Adam Schefter who reported that it was just a simple sprain. However, he is being tested for, has been tested this week, tests done on his UCL ligament. And there's rumors circulating that he has torn that ligament. And the rumors continue from there that it's going to, you know, he's going to go anywhere from playing through it, getting shots, warming up properly, doing the things that he needs to do, maybe, you know, wear a sleeve on it, straight through to the worst case scenario when you think of a rumor, which is that he is going to be required to have surgery and he's going to miss the rest of the season. And then if you're a doomsday theorist, there are people who believe that a Tommy John type surgery, which is what that is called, could potentially put him out for next season as well. Wow. That's not great, Bob. So I'm sitting over here, much like all of you are sitting, and just hoping and praying that this is going to be one of those situations where, worst case scenario, we see Josh Allen sit for maybe this week. Maybe he sits for 2 weeks. Maybe he misses the Vikings game, which seems like it probably would be prudent, especially when you consider the way that the Buffalo Bills have handled injuries so far this year, holding guys out when maybe if it was a more important situation, they wouldn't have held somebody out. Jordan Poyer against the Steelers is, you know, kind of the first thought that comes to mind. Maybe Matt Milano this past weekend against the Jets could have played if he needed to. The Buffalo Bills have had the luxury this season of being so deep in their roster that they've been able to sit guys when most teams require them to win any game. It would not surprise me if that happens again for 1 or 2 weeks, just to give that elbow a little bit of time. Let's be honest for just a second. Josh Allen, you know, this is a football team that relies on him, depends on him. I think the last thing that I saw is he was around 83% of the offense. Not great, Bob. That's not an ideal statistic, but all of the good teams that have a great quarterback, Pat Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, they all make up a majority of the, you know, that team's offense. We're talking about bona fide superstars at the quarterback position. But you've got to assume, you've got to think that Case Keenum can come in. He is a bona fide NFL starter. He's played games in this league. He's won games in this league. He's won playoff games in this league, that he could come in with this roster, which is legitimately very good, and win a couple games for you. You got to think and you got to believe that he's a quarterback that could do enough for the Bills to beat a team like the Vikings, to beat a team like the Browns. You've got to think as well that he would be supremely motivated to play against the Vikings, his former team, to play against the Browns, his former team. But getting back to Josh Allen, it has not been reported as of yet as to, you know, what type of time he's going to miss. Clearly, as I was just kind of talking about, it could be anywhere from no time. If he can work through it, if he can deal with the pain. I think that all of us are probably on the side of that's, let's not do that. Let's not force him into the lineup against an NFC team that, frankly, if we lose to, it's not as big of a deal as if we lose to, say, the Patriots and go down 0-3 in the division. But this injury, you know, it could linger, it could loom. If he has to have surgery, there's no telling how long it could possibly be. There's also comments, thoughts, beliefs out there that there's the potential that he could injure it worse. That while it is a sprain or it is a slight tear, that he could take a similar hit or something could happen to his arm and it could make it even worse and actually put him into kind of that Tommy John scenario, if you will, situation. I don't think any of us want that. But as I said, you got to wonder if the Bills are thinking, you know, maybe the Bills clearly at this point know more than we do, right? And this is one of those situations where it's surprising to me how locked tight the Buffalo Bills organization has been. No real information has leaked out. The only true leak that's out there right now is kind of the part about him having some slight pain in his elbow and potentially trying to work through it in a limited basis this week and then playing this Sunday. That's really the only leak that's come out. There's been no real other information that is viable, that is verifiable. There is one person on Twitter right now who is claiming that he is going to have surgery and he's done for the year. This person has 172 followers. I've never heard of her before. Her whole entire Twitter feed is about championing women in journalism, which I'm all for. Like, yes, give us more women in journalism, especially sports journalism. You know, one of my favorite sports journalists is Kay Adams. It's hard to argue with her. And then, you know, Jamie Erdl is great too. And there's a lot of Joy Taylor. There's so many great female journalists. Yes, let's keep doing that. But I don't know, when you've got 172 followers, if you should be the one trying to break the story that Josh Allen has a torn ligament in his elbow that's going to require surgery, and you're the one breaking the story. And I went through her feed and couldn't find any basis for like a connection to the Buffalo Bills or any sports organization for that matter. So where does this put us? I just, you know, when you look at Josh Allen, when you look at this situation, when you look at who he is as far as to this team, you know, if he's out for 3 or 4 weeks, like we talked about, you can expect Case Keenum to probably win half of those games, right? There's an expectation that if Case has to play 4, just get us 2. I don't even care which 2, Case Keenum. Like, it doesn't matter to me which 2 we win. And I know that wins are not necessarily a quarterback stat, but the quarterback makes a pretty big difference when it comes to winning football games, and the quarterback makes a pretty big difference on winning franchises. But win me 2 of those 4, Case. Can you do that? If you can win me 3, you know, high fives all the way around. If you win me 4, don't leave town anytime soon. Like, stick around and be our backup for a while. Clearly, if Josh Allen is done for the season, all bets are off at that point in time. There's no telling what we're in for, what's up, or what's good, or what's bad. I have no prediction for you at all at that point. You hope the Buffalo Bills can do the unthinkable like the Giants did against us and other teams have done throughout history, which is, you know, get on some kind of a roll, the rest of the team picks up, and they still win a Super Bowl. I find it hard to believe that that could possibly happen if Case Keenum, you know, takes over this team for an injured Josh Allen who was out for the year. But we're going to continue to hope for the best and pray for the best. Now, other players on this roster as injuries are looming, and I'm going to go through these relatively fast. Jordan Poyer. Look, everybody, I said this on the Overreaction post-game show on Sunday. I'm not going to back away from it. Everything that I'm hearing is that Jordan Poyer is likely done for the season. I know that he's day-to-day. I've tried to connect with Bills beat reporters, and they're apprehensive to even talk about it because of that day-to-day moniker. But I've heard from 2 different sources, not the obvious one that you would think it would be, that he is done for the season. One of them was a person in the medical staff inside of the Buffalo Bills. Take it for what it's worth. I'm not saying he is done. Just likely it seems like he's going to be done for the season. The Dean Marlowe acquisition seems to kind of, you know, firm that up for me. That Jordan, if he gets back on the field this year, it's going to be, I don't want to say a miracle, but it's going to be highly unlikely that he gets back on the field this year. But, you know, I think personally we should probably, just from what I'm hearing, start planning on finishing the 2023 season without Jordan. I hope that's not true. This is one of those moments that I don't want to be a source. I don't want to be a newsbreaker. I literally would prefer to be 1,000% wrong and an idiot and have every ounce of mud slung at me that you could possibly sling. So that's just kind of what I'm hearing. Greg Rousseau, high ankle sprain. He's probably going to miss 2 to 3 weeks. Not great. Matt Milano with an oblique injury. We don't know if it's a tear or if it's just an injury. John Fina said on the Off Tackle with John Fina show on Monday that he had an oblique injury one time and it put him out 2 weeks. I think he said an oblique tear. Put him out 2 weeks, and he said that he probably should have been out 3 or 4. He said it was one of the most painful things that he's ever gone through. However, what we're hearing and kind of seeing from Matt Milano, I would probably expect him back this week. Dane Jackson had another stinger, which is also not good, and it's seemingly dangerous. Per Banged Up Bills, Dr. Kyle Trimble, I believe he said on Buffalo Late Night that this is the 4th stinger that he's had in the last 2 years. That's a little bit scary, in my opinion. I don't know where that puts Dane. I don't know anything about stingers and frequency. I've got a herniated disc between C6 and C7. I can tell you that, you know, as much as I'm not a small guy and I'm not fragile, there's certain things in my life that I consider to be fragile. My neck is one of them. Anytime you're talking about stinger, I mean, the stinger situation is effectively what put Micah Hyde out for the season and caused him to need to have surgery. So Dane Jackson remains to be seen, in my opinion. Kair Elam has an ankle injury. I wouldn't expect to see him this weekend. Spencer Brown also dealing with a high ankle sprain. You know, we got to think that he's getting close to returning. Now, here's the good news to all that bad news, and that's a lot of bad. My, how far we have slid so quickly. That's a lot of bad news. Tre'Davious White, so we're going to keep the faith here. Tre'Davious White is slated to return. And, oh, by the way, Xavier Rhodes was elevated to the practice squad last week, and he is also ready to play. And then, as I said, Dean Marlowe is kind of waiting in the wings as far as safety goes. But, man, that is just not a fun situation. And, you know, when you talk about wake up Wednesday, boy, you're awake now, aren't you? And that is not exactly the information that we really want to be talking about. But that's where we are. That's reality for us as Bills fans. That's reality for this franchise right now. But I want to move on now to a little bit more of a fun segment as far as bettings and sports predictions. I want to pick. So I've been picking every week. I've been picking all the games against the spread on tallysite.com. And I've not been doing great. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm probably better at picking games straight up than picking against the spread. Anytime you're picking against the spread, it's somewhat of a coin flip. And to be honest with you, this is the first year I've picked against the spread, and it has kicked my fanny. I have not done good at all. Last week, I was 5-8. On the season, I'm 66-79. Not great. So I would tell you that as long as I'm picking against the spread the way that I've been picking against the spread, don't take any advice that I give you. But we're going to go through these one by one, and I literally have not picked them yet. I have not looked at them. I have not even thought about them. But I'm going to do it right now. So the first game I've got is Atlanta versus the Carolina Panthers. You know, the Panthers, to me, are just a team that's woeful. They've traded away their assets. Baker Mayfield is the quarterback. They've got Atlanta at -3 in Carolina. I'm going to take the Falcons in that game. The Seattle Seahawks versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I know the Buccaneers are kind of what's the word? They're having a good time right now because of the way that they won their last game. But my God, would we have ever thought that we would be talking about Geno Smith being a potential MVP candidate and one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, but here we are. So the Seahawks are actually getting 2.5. Give me the Seahawks in that football game. The Minnesota Vikings at the Buffalo Bills. The Vikings are getting 6.5. This is tough because the Vikings are, 6-1 or 7-1? All of their games have been, I think, within one possession. This is one of those weird cases for me that I'm literally going to take the Vikings in 6.5 points. I think the Bills win this game on the money line. Listen to me, because it's going to come back in a minute. I think the Bills win this game on the money line, but I think the Bills potentially win this game by 3 to 5 points. So take Minnesota, or I'm going to take, I should say, Minnesota and 6.5 points. The next game, Jacksonville in Kansas City. Are we really having a conversation? Jacksonville's getting 9.5 points. I'm still taking Kansas City. The Detroit Lions at the Chicago Bears. The Detroit Lions are flying high coming off of a win against the Green Bay Packers, who are woeful as well. The Chicago Bears, you know, you got to like what you're beginning to see from Justin Fields. I would just like to see him throw the football a little bit more. The Detroit Lions offense, or I should say defense, is still horrible. Their offense is very good. The Chicago Bears are basically, they've traded away the best players they had on defense, and now they're Justin Fields. That's all they got. I'm actually going to take the Detroit Lions and 2.5 points in that football game. The next one, the Cleveland Browns at the Miami Dolphins. I would love to see Cleveland walk out of there with a victory. We would all love to see Cleveland go in and not only upset the Dolphins just from a betting standpoint, but upset them at home. I just can't see it happening. The Dolphins have some good stuff going on, and it's hard to argue that they have become a very good football team, much to our dismay. Give me the Dolphins -3.5. 1 o'clock on Sunday as well, Denver at the Tennessee Titans. There's just something going on with this Titans team. They're just coming around for some reason. They have found a spark. Now, the question is going to be, is it Malik Willis or is it Ryan Tannehill? If Malik Willis is playing in this football game, I'm hesitant to take the Titans -3. If Tannehill's playing, I'm going to take, I would probably take the Titans -5. Regardless, I'm going to take -3, expecting Ryan Tannehill to play in this football game. Sunday, 1 o'clock as well, New Orleans in Pittsburgh. Give me the New Orleans Saints -2.5 in that football game. I like what New Orleans has. I like the weapons. I like Olave, the potential. And frankly, I just haven't seen much from the Steelers. The Steelers are 2-6. They're going to be horrible this season. There's no way they're going to finish above 500. Houston Texans at New York Giants. My guy Isaiah Hodgins has an opportunity to go to the Giants in New York. He got picked up off of waivers from the Bills, releasing him back to the practice squad. He goes to a team where he knows the playbook inside and out. His new head coach is his former offensive coordinator. It's a wildly injury-ridden wide receiver group that he's entering, and the other guys that are left are wildly underperforming. I would expect Isaiah Hodgins to actually find himself as the number one or number two wide receiver in an offense where the quarterback lives from 0 to 15 yards, which is a place where Isaiah can excel. If you have not yet picked up Isaiah Hodgins off of the waiver wire in your fantasy leagues, I would tell you to do so. I'm not saying playing him this week, but that to me is an opportunity to pick up a player, an opportunity to win in some fantasy games later on down the road, just from a surprise sleeper guy. But I'm going to take the New York Giants at -6.5. The next game is the Indianapolis Colts at the Las Vegas Raiders. Talk about two train wrecks of franchises. My goodness. The Raiders are minus 6.5. They lost another game that they were leading by 17 points. But the Colts, I don't even, the Raiders might win this game 100-0. What are the Colts doing? Firing Frank Reich and hiring Jeff Saturday, former center for the team that has zero head coaching experience. I get the whole concept and idea that a leader is a leader, but no coaching experience to run an NFL franchise, to be one of 32 guys in the NFL. Jim Irsay, and I apologize because this is probably off color, that dude's drunk. I don't know what he's thinking. And frankly, it's kind of embarrassing. Arizona Cardinals at the Los Angeles Rams. I don't know what's going on with the Rams. You want to talk about a Super Bowl hangover? Goodness. The Cardinals getting plus 3. You know, I like the Rams coming off of a loss, which they just did. But you know what? Give me the Cardinals. Give me the Cardinals plus 3. Dallas at Green Bay. I don't even know that there's a conversation here. Minus 5. Give me Dallas, the Dallas Cowboys. Sunday night, Chargers at San Francisco. This is an interesting game. I don't like Jimmy Garoppolo as much as I like Justin Herbert, but I'm going to take the San Francisco 49ers at home minus 7. And the last game for the week is the Washington Commanders at the Philadelphia Eagles. And I just don't see anything stopping the Philadelphia Eagles. So we're going to take the Eagles minus 11 at home. And I bet you they beat them by 20. So those are the games. Those are my picks for the week. Real quick, a player parlay, and then I'm going to get you guys out of here. You know, weekly, I'm going to pick a parlay between or in one game. It won't always be the Bills game, but this week it is. It's a parlay that I'm going to bet, not a bunch of money, a buck or here, $2, $3, just something to kind of keep it fun and keep it interesting. But this week, my parlay that I've got is four players or four things. Number one, Justin Jefferson, 100-plus receiving yards. I got Stephon Diggs at 85-plus yards. I've got Stephon Diggs as an anytime touchdown scorer, and I got the Bills on the money line. So that is the parlay. So if you want to have fun with me and throw a dollar on that on your betting app, Justin Jefferson, 100-plus, Stephon Diggs, 85-plus, Stephon Diggs, anytime touchdown scorer, and the Bills on the money line. We'll talk about it next week on Wake Up Wednesday. But ladies and gentlemen, you've been tuned into that very show that I just said, Wake Up Wednesday, on the Overreaction Sports Network. My name is Joe Miller. You can find me on Twitter at Joe Miller Wired. So good to have you. Go Bills.